For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, this is Kenny Mack, and I'm calling in for Dog Pound Nation. I want to hear from my dogs in Dover what happened in Kansas City and why we're going to beat the Texans next week. Let's go, Brownies!
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Dogs. Thank you to Kenny Mack for that awesome intro. Kenny Mack's a staple on this program. We love having his intros. If you would like to get your intro on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com and tap leave voicemail in the drop down menu. Today we're going to get into our action pack week one loss to the Chiefs. But before we get into that, remember to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. If you're watching on YouTube, please remember to like and subscribe. Make sure to tap that notification bell so you never miss a new episode. Lastly, if you're looking for more Browns content, perhaps in an unfiltered look at how upsetting it is to hand a game away, make sure to become an official Dog Pack member at jointhedogs.com. We have extra episodes, fantasy leagues, game day threads when we're talking about what's going on in the game. It's a ton of fun for everybody who's in there and who's involved. So come hang out with us, jointhedogs.com, become a Dog Pack member. Just hang out with us. Have a good time.
I know we were saying before the show, all right, just keep it clean. We can do this. And then Justin didn't even show up today.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that bad. He's like, keep it clean. I'm not even coming.
Right. No,
Justin, a little under the weather. Pretty sure it's not the vid. So he'll be back.
No, it was it was what happened on Sunday.
Right. Yeah. It's just all, he's all shook up over what happened.
He shook. That's what the kids say. I'm shook.
Oh, well, are we ready to get into one went right?
Mm-hmm.
Dogs off the leash.
Browns is the
Browns. Well, Browns is the Browns indeed.
Yeah. Right.
So despite the loss, I think actually a lot went right in this game.
Yeah.
Especially on one side of the ball.
Yep.
Which is kind of the same old story for the at least this Browns team.
Well, if we say we picked up right where we left off.
Yeah.
That about right? All around?
I don't think. Yeah. I mean, we pretty much dominated them for 2.5 quarters.
Yep.
I mean, the first half, that first drive, we marched right down the field. And then when they had the penalty on our extra point, no hesitation from Stefanski, which I loved. He was being aggressive. He knew that we had to come in and be aggressive to have any chance at beating these guys. It was almost like he listened to our pregame show about not coming in vanilla, not coming in afraid, and having to go out there and play your game and be aggressive and go score points. And that's exactly what we did. They couldn't stop us for 2.5 quarters. It was like we were going on air.
Yeah, I mean, the opening drive was exactly what we needed to do. I mean, we took up half the quarter on a 13-play drive, go down, not only get 7, but you get 8 with the penalty, and all the momentum was on our side. Now, we knew that, and like Stefanski going for it, I mean, he knew more than 7 points was going to have to decide this game, so getting that extra point, you know, it may seem small, but it was a huge difference later on, you know, as the first and second quarter progressed, that we stretched that lead out to a 2-possession game then.
Yes.
Rather than, okay, we're only up 8 at a certain point instead of 9, they could go down and tie it and take and, you know, get a 2-point themselves. And it's a whole different outlook to the game. And the defense was, I was super excited for our defense going into this. Like, everybody, we got all these new pieces. Everybody, you know, they're saying that the defense is fast and we're going to be able to cover everybody. No.
Well, we're not there yet.
We're not. Yeah. All right. So if we're talking about what went right, though, defensively, I mean, we were holding them to field goals for a little bit.
Yeah.
What was
the score at halftime?
What was it?
Score at halftime was 22-10.
Okay.
To hold them, we held them to 10 points in the first half.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if you think about it, so what went right for us was we had a long touchdown drive, and then they kind of had a long drive too that I got it pulled up. They had an 8 minute or a 6 minute drive after our 7 minutes and 7 seconds to just get a field goal.
Yes.
So I think I remember, you know, texting, you know, our Patreon members and Blake and Josh and Justin saying that was a win. That's like getting a turnover almost against the Chiefs, that they just ate up all that clock and had to settle for 3 points.
Yep. And then we took the ball right back and went down up 2 scores. And at that point you're thinking, if the defense can just get some, I mean, the route's on. I know it's early, but that's the way it was looking because there was no stopping us. And Kevin Stefanski, is he the best play caller in the league? If not, he's top 3 to 5.
He's making a really strong case for it.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling as long as things continue to go this way, you know, 10 years from now, he's going to be looked at kind of as like, maybe not even 10 years, might not even take that long. He's going to be like a Shanahan, an Andy Reid. People are going to be looking at him as that level, a Sean McVay.
Oh, yeah, I think he's there. I think he's there in a lot of people's eyes right now today, that he's top 3 maybe in the NFL today. And think about it, when we first brought Stefanski in, we had the conversation of, did we really want him to call plays and have the head coach be the guy who calls plays, or did we want him to delegate so he could pay attention to everything else? Man, I think I was one of the guys that was like, oh, it'd be nice to see him delegate. I was stupid because I don't want to see anybody else with a play chart in front of him calling plays in than Kevin Stefanski.
And it's a credit to him too that he can pay attention to everything. Just because I coach junior high football and I call the plays, and when we're on offense and I'm thinking about calling plays, I don't have
time to think about everything else.
I have a hard time keeping an eye on down and distance and clock sometimes.
Right.
This is seventh grade. it's literally the lowest of lowest levels. And there's still a lot going through my mind when I'm calling the plays. So for the fact that on the biggest stage in sports, he can go out there and call a game like that while still making decisions on if we should challenge, what we're going to do, you know, the next time we come out on defense. And obviously he has a lot of trust in the assistant coaches on the other side of the ball that he can delegate that to. Now we'll get into, should he have that trust? Yeah, we'll get into that. But we've said it before on the show, and we're going to say it forever. We hit a home run in our coaching pick.
Yeah. Is incredible. And so many people keep labeling the Browns as like, well, they're just this run heavy team. They're run.
No.
We are a run efficient team. That's what people see, and they mistake it for run heavy. We don't need to be run heavy. We run a little bit, but we're really freaking good at it.
I'll tell you, this is what you always hear about when the announcers are talking and anybody who's breaking it down. There's a marriage between the run game and the pass. It all looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
So defensively, it's so hard to key in on anything because this pass play, all the motion, all the lineman steps, everything looks just like the run play we just ran. So there's so much cohesion on the offensive side of the ball, and we're so fundamentally sound in every single facet of the game on offense that the defense is constantly guessing, which is why, you know, we'll get into – you know, whenever it becomes obvious to everybody that we have to throw, that's when we need to get better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. Some really bright spots for the Browns on Sunday. David Njoku balled out. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked like the guy we've been wanting him to be. I mean, he's just so much bigger than almost anybody that has to match up with him on the field, even if it's a linebacker. David Njoku is a freak athlete of his own right, and he looked really, really good. You know, that we kind of talked about Harrison Bryant. We wanted to see him a little bit more. I don't want to see him in pass-catching scenarios if that's the David Njoku we're going to get.
And on 5 targets, he only had 3 catches, but he had 76 yards. He was the leading receiver, and they were big catches. You know what I mean?
Big catches, and not wide open either.
Correct.
Some of them were in traffic, you know, with a cornerback draped all over him.
The biggest problem and gripe Browns fans have had with Njoku since we drafted him was that he had Greg Little hands.
Yeah.
And we saw last year, even though he didn't get the ball as much last year, but he seemed to kind of, he didn't have as many drops. And then in our first game this year, I mean, He balled out. That one catch he had from Baker, that laser down the right sideline to him. Oh, man. I mean, that's going to be lethal if he continues to play like that. I got PFF pulled up. He had an 83.9 grade. That's the highest grade of any tight end or receiver.
I'm pretty sure that grade and that scale of like 80 to 89 is Pro Bowl caliber, like grades. That's what the Pro Bowl guys get. So, I mean, if we can get that type of a David Njoku, obviously he's not going to be on the field every single snap stuff because we do have Austin Hooper.
He played 35 snaps, though. Austin Hooper played 38. So they're basically 50-50 right now.
Yeah, those two are going to be the two guys in situations where we have to pass the football. And I thought that he looked great. Definitely a standout. We saw it last year, though, early in the season, too, where we were like, David Njoku's, because we weren't sure last year going in the season if he was even going to be around. And then it was like, man, you know, he's actually, I think it was the first game last year, he blew up too.
Yeah.
And then he ended up getting injured for a couple weeks, and then he came back.
I've got him pulled up. Last year, week one, he had 3 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's a guy that's normally ready at the beginning of the year. It's a health thing for him, the not having the drops, making sure he's a reliable pass catcher.
I think one thing that's interesting, so I saw some things saying like we didn't need Hooper anymore. You still got to have Hooper.
Hooper.
We still run 2 tight end sets. They ran, Hooper was on the field 38 plays and Njoku on the field 35. That means they were on the field together a lot because we didn't run 73 plays.
And if I'm not mistaken, Hooper had all 3 of his catches on that first drive.
And they were the slant was on 4th down. That's a big time catch. That's why he's here. You have to have guys like that all over the place. And the kind of offense we run, Austin Hooper's not going to have 1,500 yards receiving.
No.
But we know if we throw it to him on a 4th-and-3 quick slant, he's going to catch it.
Yeah.
And that's why he's there.
That catch was not easy, and he made it look easy. Defenders all over him. They know he's running that route because they know that he's just going to the sticks to get the first down. And Baker throws it low where only it was either Hooper's catching it or it's incomplete. And Hooper scraped it off the ground to catch that ball. He's proven time and time again that he's got reliable hands in those critical situations. And you can see that it's either normally Jarvis or Hooper is who Baker goes to when he knows he needs that first down, where he knows he's got, you know, he needs 4 or 5 yards. Those are his two guys.
Yep. And one thing that is interesting between the two tight ends, and Njoku actually had a higher pass blocking grade than Hooper. So we always dog Njoku for his blocking. And then in the run blocking department, Hooper had a 57 grade and Njoku only had a 54. So more in the pass, and I mean, basically right there with him. So
well,
Njoku been putting in that work.
When we talked about Njoku during the preseason, I found those stats from last year that he actually had a better pass blocking grade than Hooper last year throughout the season.
Which makes sense because pass blocking is more about moving your feet, staying in front of the guy, and Njoku's a superior athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not always about just technique and stuff like that, like getting leverage, like Hooper.
That's your run blocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely Njoku was a bright spot, and one guy that I was, you know, in the preview talked about, I don't know how much playing time he's going to get out there on the field. Schwartz was on the field a lot.
I wish we could go back, and that's the coldest take of all time.
Yeah,
and Zach said
freezing cold.
I just don't think Schwartz will ever get on the field. I mean, we might as well not even have.
Oh, him on come our on, team. You guys didn't. You guys thought he was going to be out there as much as.
No,
as
I he honestly was. Thought whenever it came time, whenever right before the game we heard Odell wasn't playing, which is another story. I thought it was going to be DPJ and Higgins.
Yeah,
yeah, me
and
too.
Then it was Schwartz, and
the first pass he caught. I sat there for a second. I saw number 10. And I'm like, who is that? And then when they said Schwartz, I'm like, really?
He's not a big guy, but he's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, he's taller than you would think. He's not a little burner like, you know.
He's not JoJo Natson.
No, and he's not like a Brandon Cooks. He's a taller wide receiver. And that one play that we had where Baker just threw the bomb and he was wide open. And he just was like a half stride off
yes.
from catching it in stride. It's a touchdown.
He broke his route off for some reason.
Yeah, I would say.
I don't know why he broke his route off.
First real game action for a rookie receiver. Later in the season, once he's got more experience and everything under him, that is a he's underneath it, he takes it to the house kind of play. Because I was off my couch on that one. Like, oh, we had a touchdown. He was wide open.
He broke out and cut off his route for some reason, and Baker threw it deep, and he was still almost fast enough to catch back up to it. And it's, like you said, who knows what this guy's going to be like 6, 7, 8 games from now. That end around, he makes one dude in the secondary miss. It's gone.
Yeah,
there's nobody catching this guy.
No, and those plays are going to start happening because we're not going to be playing the Kansas City Chiefs defense
every
week. And even though we were playing the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, we were scoring like it was nothing.
Here's my thing, too, is the Chiefs defense isn't great, but I thought they tackled well. That's a big difference in the game. There was a huge play late in the game where it might have been on the one drive we went 3 and out towards the end. And Kareem Hunt caught a swing pass out of the backfield, and this linebacker came up and tackled him in the open field 1-on-1. And I was like, if that was the other way and we were expecting Mack Wilson to come up and tackle their running back on that, it would have been a first down.
12 yards.
Well, Mack Wilson had that opportunity against Patrick Mahomes and whiffed, but we'll talk about that.
I just think that they tackle well. So, Schwartz was definitely a bright spot. And I think you can tell that we have plans for this guy. He was not picked to be a gadget guy that only gets like one play a game. I think even when Odell comes back, he's going to be on the field because, I mean, you put him and Odell on the field together. Mm-hmm. That's so much.
If it ever happens, if Odell ever comes back.
Yeah.
We're
going to talk a little bit about Odell. I will say this. Nobody expected him to be ready week one anyways. So we shouldn't be surprised. It's the fact that
everybody said he was ready.
He was supposed to play. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, he's just not quite ready. But you were cleared like 3 days ago where you said you were.
Right, yeah.
So it was the tease that really sucked there. But
so was it a tease for us or was it...
Let's make them think
Odell's playing.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
But obviously we haven't even talked about a huge bright spot for the Browns offense is Baker Mayfield.
Let's do it. Let's talk about him.
For basically a game, all but 2 minutes. So for 57 minutes of a game, this dude carved them up. I mean, he only had 7 incompletions.
He was like a surgeon, man. He really was.
Yeah. I mean, he made some throws too that were just lasers. Like the one to DPJ late in the game. I think it was on a 3rd and short. He hit DPJ on a quick slant.
Yeah.
I think it was DPJ's only catch.
It was only catch.
That was a crazy throw. The throw to Njoku down the sideline was insane. The throw to Hooper on the first drive for 4th and 3 was crazy. I mean, he looked like a guy who was finally in his second year of the offense who had a firm grasp on what we wanted to do. And his accuracy, I think Dan Orlovsky said it, he was by far the most accurate quarterback of week one.
Yeah, I mean, he looked – his throws were crisp. You know, there was no – I think even the one where – he kind of missed David Njoku on the, you know, on the right sideline going, he was like rolling out right and just kind of threw it up and said, all right, well, hey, if Njoku can make a play, he didn't miss by much. And his deep ball looked great going to Schwartz at the times that he did that. He even scrambled a little bit in the pocket and actually ran, you know, a little bit. So I thought Baker played very, very well. I know that there's going to be a lot of talk about the interception at the end and all of that and what, but Baker was what we wanted him to be.
Something you just said about moving around in the pocket. You notice there's no more of that happy feet crap.
I was just about to say
like
that.
Last season we started out and it was like that for the first half of the season where it was still that happy feet, I'm going to get hit, and I got to move.
Take off running. There were some times last year early in the season where the pocket would start to collapse on him and he would like tuck the ball and like start to run and he just looked lost in the pocket. He looked so comfortable in the pocket.
So this is something I wanted to talk about. So I brought up week one stats for Baker Mayfield against the Ravens away on the road last year to open the season. And then, of course, on the road away in Kansas City to open the season this year. So last year in 2020, Baker Mayfield was 21. He 21 completions of 39, 189 yards, 4.8, you know, average, a touchdown, a pick, 33.2 QBR. Abysmal. It was pathetic. We were ready to trade for Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, this past Sunday, 21 of 28, 321 yards, 11.5 average, no touchdowns because he didn't need them. The stupid pick at the end, we'll get to that. It's whatever. QBR 68.3. I mean, over 50-point increase.
50 in, I think QBR 50 is considered average.
Right.
Which means, so he was essentially a B-plus quarterback. And without that pick, his QBR would have been the 70s.
Yes, absolutely. And if he'd had more touchdowns or any touchdowns. Yes. But.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, too, people talking about Baker not having touchdowns. It's because we were mauling them.
We didn't need it. Yeah, exactly.
But at no point were we ever... We didn't score any long touchdowns. We methodically moved right down the field, and then we'd get to the 5 or the 10-yard line and just run it down their throat and score. Why would we throw touchdowns?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
We have, don't need to.
The biggest stat that I'd liked of Baker that was like the most surprising when you look at his stat sheet was the 11.5 average.
Yeah, we were. That is, wasn't Dinkin and Duncan.
No, Mahomes had less. Mahomes' average was 9.4. You wouldn't have thought that. Even like looking back, if I would have said who had the higher, you would have said, oh, it had to be Mahomes. But no, it was actually Baker. The game plan was, you know, awesome from the get-go of we were able to do whatever we wanted on offense. And it was just a few key things that happened that just we shot ourselves in the foot.
Yep.
We did indeed. But anything else about Baker we want to hit on before? Because I wanted to just say real quick another comparison between the start of this year and last year, though, was Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, guys. Oh, my Lord. 5.5 yards a carry for both of them. And we talked about this last year after week one. Kareem Hunt was 5.5 that game against the Ravens, and Nick Chubb was 6.
Yeah, I mean, they're both so good. And the fact that we have both of them, you can keep the guy fresh. Like in that first drive, it was Nick Chubb, yep. Carry here, carry there. And you didn't see Hunt at all on the first drive. Second drive, now it's Kareem Hunt's turn.
Yeah.
And he's fresh, and he's going against his old team. So, you know, and that one where he had the, where he hurtled over the guy.
Oh, my gosh, that was pretty sweet.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, other NFL teams do not have what those two guys can give you because they're both number one backs. And Kareem Hunt's starting for almost every other NFL team if he was on it.
Maybe a handful of teams he's not a starter.
Yeah.
Probably the Saints.
Saints, the McCaffrey, Derrick Henry.
Tampa Bay would take Kareem Hunt?
Over, yeah, what they got going on. He is so underrated, too, because I think everybody sees him as, like, second fiddle. But it's 1A and 1B in Cleveland. I mean, yeah, Chubb does have that second level that, you know, and he just finds a way ho-hum about it. But
Kareem Hunt's touchdown, right? Wasn't it Nick Chubb kind of got him down the field? And I think he was a little gassed.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, Kareem Hunt comes in. It's like you said, fresh legs. I mean, he just plows his way right. It's just
Could you imagine our run game? Now, Dearness Johnson's not bad. But could you imagine if Nick Chubb needed a spell and we brought in Dearness Johnson? We're probably passing the football. Mm-hmm. But when you bring in Kareem Hunt, that's not the case. You got to be ready for the run.
He only had 9 touches. He only had 6 rushes and 3 catches, but he had over 50 yards of offense, averaged 5.5 a carry, and had a touchdown.
And that's what he did last year.
That's efficient.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's efficient. And then Nick Chubb's awesome. I know he had the fumble, which we'll get into, but.
Well, and that's another thing. So look at these two running backs. They combined 21 carries. The Browns are not a run heavy team. I mean, Mark Ingram for the Texans, I think, had 26 carries himself. You know what I mean? Derrick Henry gets 20-plus a game himself. 21 between these two guys, and people are like, oh, they're a run-heavy team. We're a run-efficient team.
Well, and we didn't have the ball that many plays.
Yeah, we ran 56 plays.
And that's because we couldn't get off the field on defense. It was just like we were playing keep away from them in the first half. They essentially played keep away from us in the second half. I think when they came out in the third quarter and got the ball and took, I think, 8.5 minutes to score, by the time our offense came back on the field, it had been like 35 minutes real time since our offense had the ball. That's a long time to go without the ball.
It is.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, that's, there's a lot
of there's a lot of things,
to take yes. away. And obviously there's things we can do better. I don't want to just like, I'm not going to get too mad about things that happened in week one. I'm not going to get too up, but it's highly encouraging for the offense to look like that in week one. I mean,
offense is right up there with the top
in the league.
We can hang with anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody
offensively, I'm taking us over a lot of teams.
And you could take us over the Chiefs. We're more well-rounded. They got two people, and any other defense in the league at least figures out a way to make it hard for them.
Yeah. I think that, you know, offensively, we're right there. We showed we belong. It's the other side that we got to worry about.
All right. We ready for the struggle?
Mm-hmm.
In the doghouse.
Let me say something to you as a friend. You suck.
Your PFF grade just went up for that, Josh.
Yes.
So what went wrong for the Browns?
Mm-hmm.
Where to start? I think, and I hate to do this, but what went wrong was Nick Chubb can't fumble. I know Jamie Gillen's getting a lot of crap right now, but the fact of the matter is we were driving. We were going to score again.
And at least three.
Yeah.
You're right. Points were on the way.
They couldn't stop
us again.
They couldn't stop it. No. We were gashing them again.
Yep.
And then we gave them the ball back right away. Our defense was just on the field for 8.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. We gave them the ball back. And it's just, you just can't fumble. And it's, he doesn't hardly ever fumble, but there's just, they're big ones. This one and then the one against the Patriots, was it last year or the year before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad weather game. Yeah. He went from gloves to no gloves to back to gloves. Yeah.
And it's just like, don't fumble.
Like you said, and it's not like he fumbled, you know, deep into their territory where they had to drive the field then.
No, it was short field.
Yeah, short field. It's like, dude.
Ah. And it was quick. It was quick, too, because it was three. Right. It was the third play into the drive. Chiefs just had a 7.5 minute drive, 14 plays, go down, they score to get it to a one possession game. And then we give the ball right back, and you were and I was already, as soon as it happened, I was like, all right, well, they're going to go down and take the lead, is what I thought instantly. I was like, well, we just gave him the ball, Patrick Mahomes going to go, and now we're going to be playing from behind. Here we go. And defensively, we ended up holding him to a field goal, and I was like, man, that's a sigh of relief. We still got the lead, and we're going to get the ball. We're going to go right back down the field and score, which we did. My biggest thing that I thought was the first wrong. Everything went right in that first half until we had the penalty. So we get the ball back on our 1 yard line, if you remember, with 1:30 left in the game to go. And
in the half, you mean?
Yeah, in the half. Okay, so 1:30 left, and Kareem Hunt gets the carry, takes it 5 yards. Kansas City calls timeout, thinking they're going to get the ball back. And then all of a sudden, we just go, Kareem Hunt gets a 15-yard carry. And then Baker throws a deep pass to Njoku to get us to the Kansas City 36 for 43 yards. We had the ball at their 36-yard line with 49 seconds left when we called timeout.
Came up with no points.
And then, I mean, we're looking, and at that point, it's 22-10. We're thinking, hey, we can go get a field goal. We're going to go up 15.
Yep.
And then we ended up, it was an incomplete pass to Schwartz where Schwartz kind of broke off that route and Baker threw it to the end zone. And if he would have just kept going, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, because it was one on one.
And that guy was toast.
Yeah. And so that happens. And then we got the penalty on Taylor for the holding that backs us up to the 46. Then Baker takes a sack for an 11-yard loss. So now we went from the 36 to the 46. That now we're all the way back on our own 43, and we called a time. For some reason, they didn't call a timeout to try to block the punt. We ended up being able to try to throw that Hail Mary, and then we didn't throw the Hail Mary. Threw the quick out to Jarvis.
We almost
scored a touchdown that way.
That was one of the coolest plays I've ever seen.
Can you imagine if that ball gets to anybody but Baker
in
that situation?
I was thinking the same thing.
Like it just happened to get to Baker.
Baker looked like he was going to, for a second, I thought he's going
to
take it.
Imagine if that gets to Chubb or anybody.
But if I'm telling you guys that we have the ball with 49 seconds, so 49 seconds left, first and 10 at their 36, and we still have two timeouts left, You're telling me you didn't think we were going to put points on the board?
I thought for sure we were going to go score again.
So, I mean, think about that, what that could have meant. Even, you know, being up 12 was a lot, it felt like, but we could have been up even more.
Not against the Chiefs.
So that was one of those scenarios where I was like, man, that was, we dropped the ball on that because we did all that work. We started on our one and took it all the way to their side of the field and then had to settle, obviously, for that Hail Mary play. But, man.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you brought that up because I focus so much on the fumble and then the Jimmy Gillen. They're saying bad snap. No way. It hit him in the hands.
No.
And then he still had plenty of time to punt it.
Do something.
Yeah. And then I have, you know, my thoughts on Baker at the end. So I hadn't even thought about that. That's all. I mean, those are hidden things that don't show up in the box score that when you go back and look at it, you're like, damn, we could have been up 15 at the half or at least, got three there.
Yeah.
So I want to touch on the Jimmy Gillen thing before we get into the defense. You have to catch the ball. And I know somebody's like, people were like, you know, it's a tough situation. He hasn't been in all game 3 hours. He hasn't touched the ball. And he's
He gets paid to kick the football.
I haven't caught a football in a long time. I can go outside and catch one.
Yeah, he gets paid to kick the football. This is a professional athlete. I don't want to hear about he was sitting on the bench for, you know, it's been like 3 hours.
I got into it with people on Twitter and stuff, and they were like, and I was saying, we need to look at somebody else. And because not only did he this mistake, he's statistically one of the worst punters in the league.
Yeah, he hasn't been great. He lives by this persona of he's got muscles. He doesn't look like he's got long hair. He doesn't look like your typical punter.
Yeah,
who cares?
I would rather have the typical punter who's going to punt that ball away and make Mahomes have to drive 60 yards for a touchdown.
He's statistically not a great punter. And they were like, he catches, you know, he has two drop snaps in his whole career, and he's a great holder, and he always catches the snap. And I said, I don't grade my punters on how well they hold PATs and how well they catch punt snaps.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be like grading quarterback on how well he takes snaps under center and hands the ball off. Well, that's not what I grade my people on.
And I'm sorry, only two drop snaps in his career. Why does he have any?
He's only been a punter for two full.
Yeah,
he's only been two seasons.
It hasn't been like a long career for this guy.
It's not like he's two decades in.
And like you said, and I've said this to people too in the last few days, like he's got to be able to catch the ball. And I got to fix my wording on that because it's not like he's out there catching a pass. No one's throwing it to him. He's not making an adjustment. You are corralling a freaking snap that you've been doing your entire football career. It blows my mind.
And then
blows my mind.
The other part of it is, okay, so that happens. Still kick the football.
At least attempt to kick it.
At least try. Because I don't know where he was thinking he was going to be able to run for the first down because it was 4th and 12. I mean.
Well, and it's not like it was a designed run, so nobody's blocking for you.
Yeah, it was just bad. Bad.
The Browns had Brenton Cole quit a few years back. One of the best punters in the league. And you remember when there was supposedly a competition between the two and then we cut Colquitt to keep him and
we traded Colquitt
or we trade. And we kind of couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was all the Scottish hammer. If you remember in the preseason that year, he didn't even punt that well in that preseason.
Right. My one friend called him after that, the Irish mallet. That's his new nickname.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve Scottish hammer.
And I just feel like he gets people like him because of his nickname and all the reasons you said. But if you look at it, he's just not a great punter.
No. I mean,
even when he catches his snaps and makes his PAT holds, he doesn't kick the ball far.
Yeah, which everybody...
It's supposed to be his thing.
Right. So he was able to handle the PAT snap, though. He wasn't too cold on the bench for doing that.
Yeah.
That's a lot closer. And has a lot more to do with, you know, you got to put it in the right spot and got to make sure the laces are facing. I mean.
So you got to catch the ball there. Because at that point, too, it's like when it rains, it pours. And it's very hard to get that momentum back. You know, we had the Chubb fumble, but then we held him to three. And then we did go down and score. And it's like we're trying to get the momentum back.
We score to go back up 9, 29-20. Yeah. And then what happens? Another down thing. the John Johnson losing the football he was playing in the dark and couldn't find it.
Yeah, that was rough, man.
Unbelievable that was a touchdown.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill he might as well have just been playing on air because Johnson had no idea where the ball was. When Mahomes let that go, a lot of the experts on big networks have been saying everybody, that's a pick by anybody else. And Mahomes, he does that stuff. He gets away with that stuff all the time.
Rainbows and he's just like the luckiest guy in the world.
Yeah. So you have that happen. So Browns march down the field, right? 29-20. Everybody takes that, big exhale and be like, all right, we're back up. And then one play, bam, touchdown. They're like, all right, they're right back in it. Well, we just went down and scored on them. Let's eat some clock. Let's go down.
We're still up two.
Get some points on the board. And what happens? We have the muffed punt on the fourth down, give it back. They score in three plays, 15 yards.
And
they take the lead.
I think I even said after we gave up the big play, I was like, as long as we can go down and score here, it's no harm, no foul. We're right back to where we were, up nine, up two scores. Yep. And so far today, they haven't proven to be able to stop us. I don't really remember the drive, but I'm pretty sure it was a three and out.
I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure. And it's like, why is now the time to sputter?
Yep.
And then you just can't, it's hard to get that momentum back, especially on the road. Their crowd's into it. It was crazy loud.
And I just got to say so you got the two fumbles. Now, neither one is okay. It's both, they're both terrible. But Nick Chubb is running a football that is getting, he's getting tackled, hit, punched.
Oh, and it was
he's got arms in there. I mean, guys are trying to make you fumble the ball. Jamie Gillen dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Nobody around him dropped the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
that's inexcusable.
If you look at the Nick Chubb fumble, the safety or cornerback Thornhill put his helmet right on the football. I mean, it was just one of those things where, you don't see that happen a lot all the time. And that guy, he put his helmet right where it needed to be to pop the ball loose because Nick Chubb doesn't fumble.
No, and that's why I'm saying and I'm not making an excuse for Chubb. Like, you can't have that. But it is easier to rally around a stud who does not make mistakes very often and get your momentum back.
Right.
But when you've got a punter that drops a ball, a snap, what do you do at that point?
At that point in the game, too, there was only seven. There were 7 minutes.
Yep.
Deep in our own territory.
7 minutes left in the game when that took place. Or no, actually, it was more than that. It was 7 minutes when we got the ball back and didn't go down to score when we went three and out. Then miraculously, we go three and out, give them the ball back, and I was thinking, well, we better try to hold them to three. So we can try to go down and get a touchdown tied. Our defense actually got off the field, made them punt. And then, obviously, the last drive for us happened.
So, before, we got to get into the defense. We just talked about the long pass we gave up. John Johnson, we are so pumped to get him. He had a 55.7 grade on PFF. And you can't give that touchdown up.
No, I mean, okay, so one of
just
the biggest...
Just look up.
Yeah, that was terrible. That was a terrible play. John Johnson, I don't know if Justin bought your jersey or not, but I'd return it right now and make you earn it back. The other thing that we haven't really touched on that's killer for our defense is the Ronnie Harrison situation.
Oh, my God.
We haven't talked about it yet.
We're going to talk about it when I can swear.
Yeah, so
jump in the Patreon after this.
So I wanted to bring that part up. So we lose Ronnie Harrison. So who do we have to play at safety? Okay, we brought Grant Delpit in. No, we didn't, because Grant Delpit didn't play. We had to convert MJ Stewart from his cornerback position to play safety, and then he was our best safety in the game.
Yep, he had a 68.8 grade.
John Johnson, that can't happen.
Yep.
And these are the games, these are the teams that we brought John Johnson in to defend against.
Yeah, to be our leader.
I'm sorry, dude. We didn't bring you in to shut down Tyrod Taylor next week. We didn't bring you in to shut down, whoever the crap teams are playing later in the season. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Josh Allen. It's Lamar Jackson. It's these guys that are going to light us up if we don't have defenders.
Yeah,
I can do it.
So we pretty much gave Joe Woods a pass last year because we were like, he really didn't have anybody, right? He didn't have anybody. So we went out, and what we did, we spent some money this offseason. We went out and we got Walker. We went out and we've drafted two guys on our defense that are going to be big playmakers for years to come. Now, one of them, Newsome, thought he played really, really well.
He was actually the highest graded rookie corner in the league in week one.
Yeah, I thought he played really, really well. I don't remember, you know, seeing any lapses on, you know, on plays from him, which, and like Blake, I think you mentioned it, like I didn't see him much, which meant that that was a good thing because they weren't targeting him. Name a team that does that to a rookie. Normally, like Tom Brady sees a rookie, he's licking his chops, he's going right after him. And that seems to be the trend, you know, throughout the whole NFL. Yep. So Newsome, I thought he played really well. JOK, it was on set on there. I don't know, Blake, if you got the snap counts or stuff like that pulled up. Yep. But
he played 25 snaps.
So 25 snaps. So he was out there a good bit because none of our linebackers blew it away. We don't have that guy that's out there.
I'm going to get into this with our linebackers.
Yeah, we don't have the linebacker that's out there playing 90% of our snaps. We're mixing guys in here and there, here and there. So JOK, though, he didn't stand out for me as like as what I thought he was going to be. Like, man, he just made that big play. Or he, you know, had that great tackle there. Or he was really good in coverage. Didn't stand out to me in game one.
So, well, I'll just say real quick, let's just go back to the Ronnie Harrison situation real fast since you brought that up. Yeah. That just, that it's whole killer. Situation
it, here's
can't happen.
I'm not going to say Ronnie Harrison shouldn't get a penalty for pushing a coach. You can't push a coach.
Right.
But a coach can't push a player.
Nope.
No.
And actually, a lot of ex-players on Twitter were coming to Ronnie Harrison's defense saying if the coach crosses that line under the field, it's fair game. He came into onto the field.
Right. And what blew my mind the whole time watching that and then watching the replays was it was clear as day that he got shoved back into the guy on the ground.
Tony
he
Romo sounded so stupid talking.
Yes, he did.
He can't do either. Tony, open your eyes.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. Are you guys not seeing the same replays that we're seeing at home? Like,
yeah.
It was so obvious. Like, he was just trying to get off the guy, because he landed on top of him.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire actually picked up his leg and tripped up Harrison, the guy pushed him.
They were tangled up, okay? Like, Harrison came in on top of him. It wasn't like he hit him and they both fell down. Like, he was on top of him. He was trying to get up. Yes. Somebody was trying to pull him up, and then he got shoved backward, stepped backward because he's off balance, stepped on the guy on accident, and the coach shoves him.
Yeah, they're trying to – a lot of people were like – I was listening to Undisputed with the whole Skip and Shannon show, and, you know, Skip was – or Shannon had said something like, oh, no, he was stomping on him. And
no.
Skip was like, don't compare him to, like, Ndamukong Suh. That's not what he's doing. He's not out there purposely stepping on the guy. And I'll give it to Skip Bayless. A lot of times I don't agree with what he said, but he was all behind Ronnie Harrison and thought that it was bull crap what happened. Because, okay, you want to call a penalty because he pushed the coach. I understand that he shouldn't do that. Even if the coach did something first, he shouldn't do that. But to eject one of the starting safeties from the game.
In one of the highest anticipated games of the year.
It was the most watched game on Sunday.
Since like it was the most watched week one matchup I think I saw since like 1998.
Yeah, so it puts the Browns defense, who we were already kind of skeptical, but we were hopeful and we were like, all right, well, Delpit's out. Well, at least we got Ronnie Harrison and that was gone. You know, I don't even know how many plays.
It was quick, man. It was early on.
I'll tell you, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plays. He played 5 plays.
It's unbelievable. And then for the league, how is the coach not getting any further punishment?
So I remembered it happening, right, in the game, and then I was like, oh, boy, this isn't going to be good. Penalty on, and then they came out, and they're like, unsportsmanlike conduct on the bench of the Chiefs, and I was like, wow, okay.
But then I saw the replay, and I was like, oh, no, they got it right.
Right, yeah. And then all of a sudden, the new rule this year where New York can, like, radio in and say if something happened or into, like, help out. Okay, I would have got it if they would have said about the penalty part of it. But, man, to throw him out of the game was...
That's the part that drove me the most angry watching that, was that they actually called back in from New York seeing all the same crap that we were able to see at home, right? I mean, come on. You tell me they don't have the same... Are we seeing different things on the field?
Yeah,
and they say
it.
He needs to be ejected? Those were offsetting penalties. Yep. Keep playing, move on.
Yeah, and I think the coach was a former player too, so he knows what he's doing.
Oh, he's a former wide receiver.
Yeah, pretty sure. And like they said, he steps onto the field. it's fair game. You came out to me.
Yeah.
Yep. So if you put, they're I know, saying they're like, I'm a grown man. If you push me, you're getting pushed back.
Yeah.
Like this isn't tiddlywinks.
Yeah. And you know, JC Treader has been hot. You know, a lot of people were mad on Sunday. JC Treader still upset about it. And good. Obviously he's part of the
president of the players union.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they want a suspension. They want something for the coach because he shouldn't get off scot-free.
No, like, it cost us one of our best players against the heaviest passing team in the league.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but we got to move on a little bit here. So
tune into Patreon for some more.
So I do want to talk about our linebackers are still cheeks. That's butt cheeks for you guys. because Anthony Walker, I noticed him out there a lot. His grade was only 59. Taki had a 57.1 grade. Mac Wilson, we were so pumped that he was having a good camp there in a good preseason. There's clearly a difference between preseason and regular season because Mac Wilson still sucks.
Sucks.
He had a 40.5 overall grade. His coverage grade was 33. So he can't cover anybody and he can't tackle anybody. What the hell can he do as a starting linebacker?
And Mac, I'm hoping, man, because you're going to obviously be a part of this team. I'm hoping you're going to hear this and this is going to inspire you and you're going to want to turn your season around.
And it sucks because I like Mac Wilson, but I'd like him a lot more if he didn't play for the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, it's the stuff that's crazy is every time there was a missed tackle, it was 51.
It was him.
It was
51 every time.
And the play that Patrick Mahomes just walked into the end zone, he didn't even put a juke. He
didn't touch it, and he didn't even get a finger on him.
Patrick Mahomes didn't even juke. He just casually changed directions. Wilson couldn't even – he wouldn't have been down in flag football.
Yeah. It's not even two-hand tap.
No. I mean, come on. Yeah. And here's the thing is, he wasn't the worst linebacker. Malcolm Smith's grade was almost half of his.
Oh, my gosh.
It was 29.
Yeah.
He's
supposed to be the cover guy.
Yeah. So,
the cover linebacker.
So I was complaining about the defense and Joe Woods in our Patreon text. And one of our guys was texting about how he went back and watched the game and thought it was a solid game playing out of Joe Woods. I have to respectfully disagree because there's no game plan in the world that says Malcolm Smith covers Travis Kelce one-on-one in the red zone. And I don't care that if in his career, Malcolm Smith has been a good cover linebacker. He is old. There's a reason he was available to us last year. And this is one of the best tight ends of all time and one of their only two weapons. So you double cover him in the red zone. You double cover him every play. You especially double cover him in the red zone. And at the goal line, he made Malcolm Smith look so stupid over and over and over again. It was easy. Malcolm Smith, we might as well have played defense with 10 guys on the field on those plays.
Yeah. And honestly, one of the most frustrating things watching the game as a fan at home on TV and everything, and you can't see the whole field, right?
Yeah.
So Patrick Mahomes, it's every time he drops back to throw, and then as soon as he lets the ball go, I'm just like, whoever he's throwing to is wide open. And there it is, Kelce, no one on him. And Hill, no one on him.
Here's the thing. The Chiefs, roster-wise, and why I said this in the offseason, the Browns are a better roster top to bottom than the Chiefs. The Chiefs have Pat Mahomes.
Yep.
Their top is just...
They have Pat Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill.
Yeah.
Because, so Pat Mahomes, or Hill and Kelce had 17 catches on 22 targets. Kelce had 6 catches on 7 targets and 2 touchdowns. He had 2 touchdowns and 6 catches. And Hill had 11 catches on 15 targets. They combined for almost 300 yards. The next leading receiver...
Clyde
was Clyde Edwards-Helaire for 3 catches for 29 yards. We let 2 guys beat us, and it wasn't 2 guys that came out of nowhere. It was the 2 guys we knew
and we have game planned for.
Supposedly.
Right? Yeah, well, you would think. The thing that gets me, if you, you know, we were hoping and talking about our improved defense all offseason and all these, you know, guys we brought in and how much better our defense was going to be. We just gave up 200 yards to one guy the first game.
Yeah.
That's not improved. Receivers don't get 200 yard games very often, and we just gave up. I mean, he had 197, but who cares?
Tell me this, but watching our defense Sunday and watching our defense last year, if you, there were no names on the backs of the jersey, would you be able to guess same which team. Years was what defense?
Same team.
No. They looked the exact same, and John Johnson looked terrible. So at what point, I mean, again, I'm not going to overreact because we don't play Patrick Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey every week, and they're the best at it. It's arguably the best tight end and the best receiver and the best quarterback on the same team. But how do we not have a strategy coming into the game to make anybody else beat us? The Chiefs are not a pick your poison. If you can limit those two, they don't have anything else.
Yeah. Okay. So the biggest thing that they don't run the football well.
No.
At all. Like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, he's nice, okay.
But 3.1 a carry.
He's not great. Okay. So a lot of teams, when you're trying to stop the run, you obviously want to, you kind of have more in your front, you know, seven or what, you have that extra linebacker in there to help stuff the run. Well, they're not running the football. So me personally, I know Kelsey's a big guy, but we have a guy on our bench that's a cornerback that his job, he covers people like Greedy Williams. Greedy Williams was on for 8 snaps. That's it. He played 12% of the plays. I'd rather have Greedy Williams covering Kelsey than Malcolm Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if Malcolm Smith's bigger or not.
Or have Greedy and Malcolm on him.
Yeah.
Like, how hard is it to double? Why? Here, this is the other receivers on their team. Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, and Blake Bell. DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman every once in a while have an okay game. I would double cover Kelsey and double cover Hill every play. And if Mecole Hardman has 200 yards and they beat us,
so be it.
Good job to you guys.
This is kind of elementary, you know, going back when you want to think about this of, okay, I'm a coach of a team. I know the two guys that could beat me, regardless of what sport it is. Let's say it's baseball. Well, guess what? Aaron Judge hits some home runs. Probably not going to pitch to him. I'll pitch to the other guys.
Yeah.
Even if Judge gets on, you know, in certain basketball, not going to let Kevin Durant beat me. I'm going to make him have, I'm going to double team him if he gets the ball in the low post. You know, you just have to make that decision as a coaching staff, as a plan. And it goes a little bit on Stefanski too. I'm not going to let him out because he's got to know and see that and just be like, hey, we played these guys in the playoffs last year. Kelsey and Hill kind of tore us up. We're not going to let that happen in week one. No, that conversation obviously never happened.
No, because...
And Romo and saying on this broadcast, oh, it's all about how they're scheming them to get open. They're running the plays for them to get open. No. Just like, it's not that hard.
There's two guys to key on. And here's the thing. I get that they're the Chiefs, and they put up numbers, and they do really well against everybody. They don't do this to the good defenses. They still score on good defenses, and they still might do some good things, but it's hard. It's a struggle. It's not them just doing whatever they want every time they get the ball. Travis Kelce does not have 2 touchdowns on 6 catches every single game.
No.
Tyreek Hill does not have 200 yards receiving every single game. At some point, if you're a good defense, it's got to at least be a struggle. I just watched this team in the Super Bowl not that long ago get murdered by a good defense. We are nowhere near a good defense yet.
No.
And again, I don't want to overreact to one game and be calling for Joe Woods' heads and stuff, but...
But
we brought in some good players. We brought in what we thought were good players last year, and they all went backwards in this system. And right away, we got good players this time, and John Johnson was not good.
Yeah. And obviously, we got some room that they can all get better. because we're hoping we're going to see this team again in January or whenever it might be down the road.
Yes.
That they got some time. That, and it was obviously our first week playing together, which is kind of like, hey, maybe you should have played a little bit more in the preseason. Yeah. Maybe you should have got some of those reps in and quit with the whole, like, I'm a starter, I don't ever have to play in preseason games. Sometimes it comes back to bite you.
Here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes got a $500 million contract, and he played in the preseason.
Yeah.
So we can play in the preseason. And, again, I'm not calling for Joe Woods heads today, but if we get to the bye week and our defense is still awful.
Change of the voice in the locker room or something.
Yeah.
Okay, the other thing that I wanted to, real quick, probably one of our last things to talk about the defense that I wasn't happy with. The Tack McKinley has a 69.5 grade, and he's our top defensive end. Clowney and Miles Garrett, I just felt like I was constantly asking, where are you?
So,
somebody just get to Mahomes so he can't sit back there for 5 seconds and Hill's able to get open. Because we're not going to be able to cover Hill for 3 seconds. So you're going to have to get there a little quicker.
So here, I was thinking the same thing. I was actually screaming it during the game saying, where's Miles? Where's Clowney? Miles looks like he's dogging it. I saw this stat. The Browns generated pressure on Mahomes 44% of his dropbacks, the fifth highest rate in the NFL in week one. Mahomes is just good against pressure. Against pressure, Mahomes went 8 of 13, 185 yards and a touchdown. Now, here's the thing, though. Now, here's the problem. We were getting pressure off the edge, which if you go back and watch, we would get pressure off the edge and Mahomes would just step up. We got to get pressure.
You got to mix it up.
And to beat the good quarterbacks, Brady, Mahomes, it's double A gap. You got to get pressure up the middle. Our interior D line is garbage. This is me. I'm not, a professional defensive coordinator. I would have put Tack on the outside, maybe put McDowell or Jackson or I don't know. Somebody
McDowell, I thought, had some bright moments.
Yeah. And I would have moved Miles and somebody Clowney inside.
You know who wrecks games from the inside? Aaron Donald.
Yeah, because Tack was our highest graded outside DN. So he proved that he could get to the quarterback off. So imagine if you put Tack on that edge and then moved Miles Garrett down there in the A gap over the center. What center wants to try to block Miles Garrett and snap the ball?
You don't have enough time.
Yeah. Or how about this? Put him on the other side in the A gap. The center, guard, tackle were all rookies on the right side of their O line. It's like that. This is the biggest killer to me. It's the same thing with Ohio State's D coordinator. No adjustments. We're all watching it, and there's no adjustments ever made. It's like they're the Chiefs. They're really good. We just got to try to do this. No, do something to try to change it.
The way Mahomes was stepping up through the pressure, I was just having nightmares of Lamar Jackson, 150 yards rushing, no problem. He's gonna tear us up if we play like that.
That's my biggest takeaway is Lamar is, unless something changes quick, Lamar is going to run for 200 yards against us.
Yeah, I mean, I know we dog his passing, and, last night wasn't spectacular.
But he will run down our throats.
If he gets a free release like that, what are you going to do? You can't stop him.
No.
Yeah. So, going into week two, we got to be better defensively. I mean, we got to get guys all on the same page. Delpit being back, Harrison being back will be nice.
Is Delpit actually going to play?
I don't know. I'm hoping.
The dude needs to play a football game because my patience is wearing thin.
Blake's ready to cut him.
He's ready
to cut him and go sign Andrews and Dave.
Well, I mean, it's his year two in the NFL, and he's never played a game. So you're right.
Preseason or anything.
Right. Yeah.
I've yet to see this dude do anything football related for the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, we saw him at training camp.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Antoine Winfield Jr. won a Super Bowl last year.
That's the one that kills me, too.
And he was available, and I wanted him. And I was still pumped that we got Delpit, but at some point, you had to play football.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's great that you look good getting off the bus. But I need you
You look good with the jersey with no pads and no shorts.
Yeah, he sure did.
But I need you to put pads on and go out there and play a football game because I'm getting my patience is wearing thin. And so that wraps up the Chiefs coverage.
That went for a lot longer than I thought we were
going to
It was a lot.
We'll do a real quick Texans preview.
Yeah, it's not going to take much. We're going to show up, win, get out healthy.
What I want to see, I want to see the offense come back out, pick up where we left off. I think there's a little bit of a mirage. I don't know what the word is for it, for about Houston, that they look good in week one. They played a team that I think is, I said it in the preseason, is going to go 0-17.
Yeah, if you guys were listening to the picks, I said Houston's going to win the game outright. I didn't care Jacksonville was favored. Houston was going to win that football game.
And now Jacksonville's got rumors of Urban leaving. They're not winning.
No. And Urban's got his out. So if he wants out, I'd take it, Urban. You got your first taste that you couldn't beat Houston with
Tyrod
and Mark Ingram look good. They made Mark Ingram look like he was 5 years ago.
Here's the thing, too, is if you look, Mark Ingram only averaged 3 yards a carry.
Yeah.
He just got the ball a lot.
Yeah. So now here's the other thing with the Texans, you know, they're a very veteran team now.
No, they're going to play.
They're not going to, like, Tyrod Taylor is a veteran quarterback who's not going to necessarily lose you a game, but he's not going to go out there and win you the game either. He's just kind of that really good backup quarterback to have, but can get you a few wins type of a guy.
Here's the thing. Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay,
David Johnson,
Tyrod Taylor, Brandon Cooks. These are veteran NFL players who are not just going to lay down because
Deshaun Watson. And they know how to win.
Yeah. Some of these dudes have been on winning teams. So are the Texans a talented football team, and should we beat them by 100? Yes, but we got to bring it. This is the NFL, and if we come out and think they're just going to lay down because we looked good in a loss week one, that's not going to cut it.
No, they got a nice, I think, rookie wide receiver, Nico Collins, who looked good, and they took it to Jacksonville, too. The game ended up getting a little bit closer there. Jacksonville, I think, had two garbage TDs late in the game to make it look closer, but they took them to the shed.
And here's the thing with this game is, I think if the Browns won, we could score 50 in this game. The problem is are we going to give up 48?
Okay, so pretty much going into this game, I think that the Browns are going to be able to do whatever they want on offense. I think it might start pass heavy, but I think this game, by the second, once we get a lead, we're just going to be able to lean on the run, because they're not great at stopping the run. Their team, even going back to like what you saw last year, Lovie Smith is one of their defense. I think he is their defensive coordinator who's been around in the NFL. Stefanski actually coached against him because they were in the same division when he was in Chicago. So Kevin knows what he's going to do. So I think we'll game plan that he'll be able to get the running game going. And I think we want to lean on the running game and just get out with a win. I don't care if we win by 14, but it's like, man, they didn't even have a chance and we only won by 2 touchdowns. People might be like, oh, you only beat them by that much. I think this is a game where we can control it from the get-go and get out and move on.
See, I'm kind of the opposite. I think
you want to stomp them?
Yes, because
and look amazing, yes. And look awesome.
Yes, I want the league to be on notice, like these dudes. I mean, I think the league's already on notice because we played well, but we need to come out, play like a team that doesn't want to lose 2 games in a row. And I think if we play the way we're capable, the Texans have no business even being on the field with us. The only thing I'm slightly nervous about is the defense, because I haven't seen good defense yet. Now, they're a far cry from what the Chiefs.
Sure, but I'm going to go ahead and cut out this piece of the podcast and send it to the Browns just as like a, hey, you know, just in case you guys want a little advice. They got a guy named Brandon Cooks that, he's a pretty good receiver. He's really the only guy they got out there. Based on how you guys played defense last week, you guys need help on who to game plan for. So I'm just letting you know, it's Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. Yes.
Please.
It's literally Brandon Cooks. And I think that if the Browns don't turn the football over in this game, I think that's the only thing that keeps it relatively close, is if we go out and throw picks and fumble the football around.
I want to see us tackle. And I kind of like that we're playing a quarterback that can move. It's like Lamar light, very light, like super light Lamar. But, you know, just like a little bit of see how we do against a mobile QB. But
yeah, I think that I think going into this game, I think we're 12-point favorites right now. It's a home opener for us.
That's like an Ohio State line.
We need to just come out, take care of business, get out healthy. I don't know if Wills is going to be back. Losing him in week one hurt.
Yeah. Well, one thing before we get out of here real quick. So we lose Wills. His replacement, his grade was 49.
Yeah.
Chris Hubbard.
Chris Jones was all – if you look at what the pressures were when we had Wills in there and after he left, they got a lot of pressure on Baker.
Yeah.
And Baker had to step up in the pocket and roll out, and Stefanski kind of had to put him on the move a little bit in passing plays because Hubbard wasn't stopping Chris Jones.
Wills had a 72.8 grade, which is, you know, pretty decent, and Chris Hubbard was a 49. So there was a 23-point drop-off in left tackle play after Wills got hurt. So we need him back. We definitely need him back. Yeah. But I think that pretty much – there's not too much. I don't want to seem like we're taking them lightly. They're still an NFL team, but let's just come out and take care of business, and this should be a win. First game – or not the first game in front of a crowd, but first regular season game in front of – it's going to be rocking.
And, I mean, in all seriousness, a lot of, you know, the week two preview, it's not really about the Texans. It's about us.
Yeah.
Because I've been saying this all week now. We beat the Chiefs. We beat the Chiefs. We just lost to ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Seriously. That's what had me the most upset is we had that game, no problem.
As we wrap this up before we get into our picks, I think the Chiefs, they don't want to play us again. I saw
they ain't beating us.
Keyshawn Johnson said that if we were to play again in the playoffs, he would take us.
Yeah.
They don't want to play us again. They know they can't stop us.
No. That's the thing. They could not stop our offense, which was a great sign.
Yeah.
Great sign.
And I think that's a great, you know, where we've had this game. I think it's almost better playing the Chiefs in week one than playing the Chiefs in week 13 and
we said that the whole time.
Yeah, losing to them late, and then it's fresh in your mind. Where in this one, we felt like we were right there. We had to win. If this three things doesn't happen, we probably are 1-0, and we just beat the Chiefs in the opener.
Beat them soundly
in Kansas City.
So there's a lot. A lot of Browns fans are feeling like, man, we blew it, and you know, are down about it. Things are looking up.
How long we've been going on? How much time we got?
We're a little over an hour at this point, but I mean...
Quickly, I just want to say this was a potential moment for Baker. I still think he's the franchise QB, and I think he played amazing for most of that game. But at the same time, I just wanted to see that drive.
I did too.
I just wanted to see that drive where everybody in the stadium knows he has to throw. And he still goes out there and takes it.
Kind of like the DPJ touchdown last year against Cincinnati to win it.
Yes, except for I want to see it against
a good team.
A good team, yeah. Not against the Bengals. You know, we saw Derek Carr do it. I saw Kirk Cousins do it. I need Baker Mayfield to do it. He's a top 15 QB, and he's our franchise QB, and he's awesome. But to take that next step, he needed that drive. At some point in this season, that opportunity is going to present itself again.
Yeah,
he's got to do it.
That's that moment, like in a Packers game, where you're like, "Well, Aaron Rodgers could easily go down and win this game," and you're just waiting for it to happen.
Thursday night, Tampa Bay got that ball back like a minute ago, and there was 6 billion people on planet Earth that knew they were going to go down and score.
Yeah.
He got down there so fast. He threw three passes out of bounds on purpose just to waste time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So that moment is going to present itself again. He has to take advantage.
I can't argue with you on that.
Again, I think he played great, and he showed that he's
going to
be awesome.
The evolution of Baker continues. I mean, it really does. Like I threw the stats out earlier from week one last year to week one this year. I mean, it's there, guys. Yeah. Like he's doing it. But you're right. Got to be able to make these, got to be able to win games.
You
got to finish.
He looked great when the whole playbook was available and he's comfortable and we're playing with a lead. It's kind of like when you got a lead at the end and you need a first down, everybody knows you're running it. If you can still run it, it's the same thing. You got to go down the field. Everybody knows you're passing and you still take us down the field. That's the next step.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's move along quickly because we're already taking up too much of your guys' time.
Right.
So before I actually skipped this before our Texans preview. Do you just want to read Manscaped and we'll go later?
Yeah.
Sorry, well, I accidentally skipped one. I wasn't looking at the thing.
No, it's all good. Hey, everybody already knows about Manscaped. We've been talking about them for a while. And, you know, I could just sit here and talk about them, but they give me so much great stuff to read. So here we go. They say, do you like playing with balls? And no, I'm not talking about footballs. I mean your balls. Our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, want you to shave your pubes with the Tom Brady of ball trimmers, the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Only the GOAT technology for the greatest balls of all time, which would be the G-Boat. If you want to go with that route. When you're going towards the end zone, make sure you use the right tools for the job and choose Manscaped. 2 million men worldwide trust them, so join the movement with our exclusive offer by using the code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, at manscaped.com, and you get 20% off and free shipping on your order. So head over there, take care of your pubes right now.
Awesome.
Their ad reads are the best.
Yes, they are. So we just want to move into our game picks then?
Yep.
Which, by the way, picking against the spread is hard.
It is.
Let's Pick 'Em, presented by Symbol.
So we're going to go through our game picks again this week. I think that what this week, to save some time, what we're going to do is we're each just going to pick three games that we're going to do on Symbol, just because we've already gone over an hour. There's too much to talk about. Obviously, we want to remind you guys to join Symbol. Play the stock market for sports. Two ways to win. You get on. You go to symbol.com/dogs. Use our promo code DAWGS. Get $10 free. You buy stock in sports teams. You can play anything you want, but obviously we're big into the NFL, so you buy shares of a team. Anytime they win, instant cash payout. As they win, their stock price goes up because more people start buying them because they're winning. You're earning money on the stock market. Only it's more fun to research than the Dow Jones or the NASDAQ, you know, because it's sports.
Somebody you actually care about.
Yeah. A buddy of mine, if you got an extra $100K laying around, a buddy of mine told me that if you buy $100,000 worth of Brown stock on Symbol, every win will pay $1,000. So the Browns, if we're pretty certain the Browns are going to win 12 games, if you got an extra $100,000 laying around, you can basically guarantee yourself a $12,000 profit. If you got $100K laying
around. Right, yeah.
I'm sure everybody out there is rushing in there now.
Let me get in the sock drawer.
I wondered what to do with that money.
But you see, if you do the research and, you know, you're willing to put the time in, you can make some money on this. A cool thing about Symbol is they do offer free pick three leagues also, which we created a league. We had to get 50 people in it, so the winner would get a free Browns jersey. And we got 50. We're at least 50 right now.
51, I think, right now. And it's not over. Like, you can still get into the league. Yes. So head down to the description of this video.
Yeah.
And the link is there.
So we had some people reaching out because they were a little confused. You'll sign up for Symbol. You do not have to put any money on to play the pick three. You'll skip through all the tutorial stuff. Lower left-hand corner, you hit teammates. And then in the top right-hand corner, it'll say join/create league. You tap that. Look for the Dogs podcast. Hit join, you make your picks. To put things in perspective, I was 0-3 this past week. So even though if you might have missed week one, we're tied.
Well, and yes. I will say only, so we got 50 people, only 31 had scored even any points, and most of those were just ones. So if you jump in right now and you get all three of your picks right next week, you'll be in the top 10 probably. Yep.
Yep. And to the people who were in the league that forgot to make your picks, Don't forget that it's a free Brown jersey. It's literally jump on, takes 2 seconds, make your picks. Yep. So I think, like I said, I don't think we're going to go through every game. Well, we got time.
Let's just go through them and not talk about them.
Rapid fire. So we'll start this off. Just recapping real quick what happened last week. Blake, you were last. You went 5-11 against the spread last week. Josh, you were second to last, 6 of 10. Justin, 7 of 9. Myself, 8 and 8. So let's go ahead and go into week 2, see who comes out on top after this week. First game, Thursday night, New York Giants at Washington football team. We got Washington as a 3.5-point favorite.
Justin has Washington. Who are they playing again?
The Giants.
The Giants at Washington. Washington, 3.5-point favorite.
I'm taking Washington also. The Giants' deep offense sucks.
I'm taking Washington as well.
Give me the Giants.
Man, Okay. All right, let's go second game. First, going back here on Sunday, Cincinnati Bengals 1-0 taking on the 0-1 Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. Chicago's getting 3 points at home. I'll start this one off. I'm taking Cincy.
Me too. Cincinnati actually looked pretty impressive. I can't tell if they were good or if the Vikings were bad, but
well, I couldn't really tell if the Bears were bad or if the Rams were just that good, but I will take Cincy here.
Justin, have a pick in on that one?
He did, Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Okay, we all take Cincinnati there. Moving on, we got the Los Angeles Rams, new look with Stafford. They are 1-0, taking on the 0-1 Carson Wentz-led Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. Rams are favored by 4 on the road.
4 points, I'll take the Rams.
I'm also going to go with the Rams. They looked
Colts look good. Horrible.
And SoFi Stadium's awesome.
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams as well.
They're not playing there, but...
We'll
get Justin's at the end.
He took the Rams.
Okay. All right, next game. We got the Buffalo Bills sitting at 0-1 after the upset the Steelers handed them, taking on the 1-0 Miami Dolphins. Bills are getting 3.5 at Hard Rock Stadium. I'm going to go ahead and say Buffalo bounces back and gets the W here.
I'm going to have to go Buffalo also.
3.5. You know what? Give me the Dolphins. I think maybe it's a 3-point game.
Justin said Buffalo.
Josh by himself again. He's either going to be catching up or falling behind. next game, we'll go to the New England Patriots sitting at 0-1, taking on the 0-1 New York Jets. Patriots are getting 5.5 points on the road.
Give me New England and Justin takes New England. I think this could be a blowout.
Oh, man, this one's tough because they're both rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, but only one of them's coaching against only one of them's playing against Bill Belichick.
I know, but it's taking, a division game.
I'm taking New England. Taking New England. You want to take the Jets, don't you?
Give me the Jets. Give me the Jets. At 5.5.
All right.
Josh is just giving away.
Okay, San Francisco 49ers, Mostert out for the year, taking on Jalen Hurts and the 1-0 Eagles. So, battle of two 1-0 teams. 49ers are getting 3.5 on the road. I'm taking Philly.
Really?
Yep, I'm taking Philly. Hurts impressed me in week one.
He did. He looked good.
At home. He impressed me in week one. 49ers got some injuries. Their quarterback situation, they go like Trey Lance is in, then Garoppolo's in, then Trey Lance is back in, then Garoppolo. I'm going with Philly to cover the 3.5. I see this being a close game.
Okay, you know what? You talked me into it. I'll take Philly with you. I'm kind of going to jump on the Philly train here until they start to, you know, do Philly things.
I'm going with the Niners because I think Philly looking good was more of the Falcons being awful.
Very possible. Very probable.
All right.
And I don't know what Justin has, so we'll just look
at it. That's all right. We'll look at it later. That'll take us into one of the surprising upsets of week one, the Las Vegas Raiders taking on one of the other surprise wins, the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field. Steelers are getting 5.5.
Their offense is booty, but their defense is crazy good. But I don't know if they have.
Can they put offense. Up? Can they put up? You know, 17 points and hold them to.
They only scored. Not 13. They only scored 16. I think they got a special teams touchdown. Mm-hmm. So give me the Raiders.
Yeah, you know what? Me too. 5.5. I think I'll take the Raiders in this one.
I'm gonna take Pittsburgh in this one. Take Pittsburgh here. I think Najee Harris will get going in this game. Please.
No, I hope so.
Not me, because their line sucks.
Please. All right. Next game, New Orleans Saints 1-0 with Jameis Winston against the 1-0 McCaffrey-led Panthers.
The Darnold-led Panthers.
All right. So we got the Saints are getting 3.5 on the road against the Panthers.
I'm going to take the Saints.
Saints, please. They beat the living anything you want to place in there out of the Packers.
Taking Carolina here. I think Carolina is going to be good this year. For some reason, I just got a feeling about them. I like their wide receiver core, like McCaffrey.
We're not Darnold, supposed to be talking about it.
Darnold doesn't look bad. I'm taking Panthers.
I'm saying it was another case of they played an awful team.
Okay. Okay. We'll see. Denver Broncos taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Broncos are getting 6 points on the road.
Give me the Broncos because the Jacksonville is awful. they were getting pounded by the Texans.
Yeah, I know.
6 points on the road. I'm taking Denver.
But there's garbage time and...
Yeah, you got to account for that when you do it against the spread.
I know.
I don't think this one's close.
Give me the Jags.
I'd never put by the end of the game money on them.
All right. Next game, Minnesota Vikings taking on the Arizona Cardinals. I'm going to take the Cardinals. They're getting 4.5 points at home, but they might have been one of the teams that looked the best in week one.
And the Vikings look like crap. Give me the Cardinals.
I'm going to switch my pick and now take the
Vikings. I was going to say, I was waiting on Blake. So no. Give me the Vikings.
I'll stay with the Cardinals. All right, next game, Atlanta Falcons taking on the Buccaneers. I think the biggest spread of the week, 12.5.
Tied for it.
Yes, tied for it, 12.5. 12.5 point spread at home. I'm taking Tampa Bay.
That is such a big spread.
But in the NFL, that's big.
Yeah, you know what, but I gotta do the same thing. I gotta take Tampa Bay because I mean,
are they gonna clean up the mistakes? Because they should honestly, they should have beat Dallas by a lot. They had,
but Dallas has a very good offense, offense.
Mine here is I think that Tampa Bay is gonna score 30, and I don't know if Atlanta's gonna score 10.
That's true. You talked me into it.
All right, takes us to the team Blake just mentioned, the Dallas Cowboys going to SoFi to take on the Chargers. Chargers are a 3-point favorite at home over the Cowboys. This game will be fun.
I would like Dallas, please.
Your boy Herbert, you got his win.
That radio silence, Blake, that's...
Who are you taking?
I'm taking Herbert.
I'm taking
Herbert at home. I'm taking Herbert at home.
I'm taking Dak with the experience.
I think this is a high scoring game. I think this is
I do
40-35-ish.
Give me Dallas. I don't think they're that good of a team, but they're literally too loaded on offense to not score.
Okay, one of the most upsetting teams for their fan base after week one, the Tennessee Titans taking on the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks at home, 5.5 point favorite. That's a big favorite over a team that has, you know, most people had them winning their division easily.
So I'm going to take I think the Seahawks win, but give me the Titans. I think Vrabel's, you know, he's going to light a fire in them, and I see them getting back to, like, giving Derrick Henry the ball. So I think Seahawks win, but not by that much.
I'll take the Seahawks because this is just kind of what happens every year there. They come out hot, scoring a lot of points first half of the season, then they kind of taper off and suck the rest of the half or the rest of the season. So
I'm with you, Blake. I think Seahawks win, but I think Titans keep it close. Next game, big one for us in the division. We get to see the Kansas City Chiefs go up against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Chiefs are getting 3.5 on the road in Baltimore. I'm taking Kansas City.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the first half of that Ravens game, but in the second half, the Ravens did not look good. They had two plays, one Lamar long pass and one Lamar run. Other than that, they were not impressive.
Lamar sure does like throwing at people's toes. I don't know what's going on with that, but give me the Chiefs.
My favorite thing about Lamar is he hits the long pass and everybody's like, and everybody says he can't throw. But they're not going back and looking. I mean, he missed some people. It was awful. Yeah. And nobody says he can't throw sometimes. I'm saying he won't make that throw 8 out of 10 times. He'll make it 2 or 3 out of 10 times.
Okay, next we got the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football going to Lambeau Field to take on Green Bay. Embarrassment that was the Packers.
10.5?
10.5 points.
Oh, Lambeau is
giving Green Bay a 10.5 point favorite over the Lions. I'm going Detroit.
Me too.
Yeah, because I don't know. I don't know.
Are you trying to say that Aaron Rodgers is being Paul Crewe? Is that what you're trying?
I'm saying that I'm not shocked if the Packers aren't good this year. I called it kind of a couple weeks ago.
All right.
Well, and the Lions did better against the 49ers than I ever thought they would.
Yeah. So takes us to our game, Houston Texans at First Energy Stadium, taking on the Cleveland Browns, 12.5 point favorite for Cleveland. I'm taking Cleveland. I think we cover the spread.
Yeah, even though it's kind of like the same way we were thinking with the Buccaneers, where I think we might score almost 40, and hopefully
20,
and yeah,
and you'd win.
Yeah,
so
give me Cleveland. Let's do this.
All right, that does it for our pick'em for the week.
Awesome. So we'll see how we do. Hopefully I don't suck so bad. I would say listen to us, but don't listen to me. Picking against the spread, I've never like really done it before. I mean, and it changes the game. It takes
a little getting used to because you got to take in a factor of the late couple touchdowns swinging the spread. So there's some bad beats.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch SVP late at night.
What's crazy is you can last year we were all above 75% right.
Just picking winners and losers. Just picking
winners and losers. So, and then we worked the spread in what? Our best person was 500. So it definitely makes it tougher. Well, we're going to wrap this thing up. It's 9 o'clock and we still have an after hours to do. Thank you for checking out another episode of the Dogs. Remember to get your game picks in on our pick three league so you can win yourself a free Browns jersey. That's symbol.com/dogs, DAWGS. To all you Dog Pack members, we'll see you on the after hours show. We're going to talk a little fantasy football, get back into that Chiefs loss, maybe get a little fired up. To everyone else, we will see you all next week when we break down our Texans win and preview the Bears matchup.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast and become an official Dog Pack member and join the dogs.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.